Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, and welcome to Wilmington Business Radio. I'm Ann Ravel-Petcher, your host, and I am all excited today to bring you two people that are making life in Wilmington so fun and so beautiful. You know, Wilmington has all these great companies here. I mean, there are, you know, you can come to Wilmington and you can be a nuclear engineer, or you can be one of the world's leading, I don't know, researchers in biology, or you can be a fabulous doctor, or you can, you know, teach at the university. There's so many amazing things to do in Wilmington. But at the end of the day, when you come home, you want a beautiful home to come home to, and you want it to feel like you. And at the end of the day, you want somebody else to cook for you. So I'm bringing you today to real up-and-coming people in Wilmington that are changing the face of what's happening in your home and in your stomach. I have with me today Fanny Slater of Fanfare Catering. Hello, Fanny.
Hello.
And I have Danielle Boise, who is with Manifest Design as their interior design.
Yes. Hi, Anne. How are you?
Great. I'm good. Well, I'm going to start by talking actually with Fanny.
I'm ready. Bring it on.
Fanny's dad, you know, hooked me up here. That was pretty cool. This is LinkedIn in action. This is how this works. Got to know her dad on LinkedIn, but actually in the Raleigh area, right?
That's right.
And he said, you know, you're in Wilmington. My daughter's starting this cool new business and you really should get to know her. It's about food. And I went, my favorite subject. I can talk about food all day long. So when he said, you know, she's got this really cool thing. And one of the things she really does that is so, so good is what she does with sandwiches. So when she walked in today, she brought us this amazing banh mi.
It's a banh mi. It's a play on a banh mi, traditionally meat, but I did a grilled eggplant version. And my dad is the king of marketing. He owned a very, very famous brownie business many years ago. And he was once on the Phil Donahue show. And he, you know, they asked him, I think we should get one of the brownies out here. You know, Phil Donahue was trying to get someone from backstage to bring one. And my dad pulled a brownie out of his pocket and said, I happen to have one right here. And Phil Donahue said, well, we know who's the marketer in the family.
Right, exactly.
So, of course, I was not going to come through the door empty-handed. No sandwiches today.
Wow, they look fabulous. They came a little too close to the show for me to have a bite, but I may do that during the show. So if suddenly you hear odd noises, it's me going, that's so good.
Fair enough.
So tell us about Fanfare.
Fanfare is my take on food, essentially. It's not just that I'm a caterer. I'm trying to be Wilmington's entrepreneur, if you will. That was all my dad. honestly, I have such a passion for homemade food, making things from scratch. And, you know, everything that I love about food really was just instilled by my parents, who taught me just the wonderful art of creating things completely homemade. And, you know, things don't come out of a box or a can or out of the freezer. They come from the ground. And learning to make food that way just inspired me. And I have honestly just chased a journey my whole life that has just always come back to food for me. And so with Fanfare, it's really my way of expressing my love for food. And I'm able to share that through these awesome sandwiches that I do for offices or events. I do private chef catering. I love to do fun cooking classes. You know, it's really every avenue that I can think of to kind of express my love for food with everybody here.
Well, we're going to get back to how Wilmington can experience this in a minute. But take us back a minute and paint a picture. Think back into when you're growing up and how – I want to help our audience understand, you know, for entrepreneurs who are – really following a path that is coming from their soul, not necessarily from, you know, the financial end of the world. When something really comes from inside, where did that start? Where did you, what's your earliest memory of thinking food is good?
Oh, man. Well, I happen to think that I was born with a spatula and a container of fig jam in my hand.
Fig jam.
But yeah, definitely fig jam. But moving forward a little bit from there, honestly, my vision is I'm in Wrightsville Beach with my family for the summer. I am standing on a chair in the kitchen with my dad. I'm wearing a tie-dye shirt that goes all the way down to my toes. And I am scrambling eggs and putting fresh sage into a pan. And I'm 4 years old. And we have this on video. And my dad is trying to teach me, you know, okay, color and flavor and fresh herbs. And I'm just looking at him like, don't know what you're talking about, but I think I dig it. And, you know, I just have all these wonderful memories of cooking with him. and just always doing things that were so different from everybody else. I remember going to a boyfriend's house one time in high school, and his mom said to me, "Fanny, you know, we'd love for you to help with dinner. How about you make the mashed potatoes?" And I said, "Great." And I reached into the fridge and I look around. No potatoes. I turn around. She's holding a box.
No.
I called my dad and I said, "Dad, you know, I'm supposed to make potatoes, but they gave me some kind of box. What do I do?" And he very slowly, very cautiously said, "Fanny, run." So I have just always had, you know, such a passion for doing things from scratch. And so, you know, from cooking with my dad to working in several restaurants,
are you formally trained as a chef?
I'm not formally trained as a chef. I always like to say I went to the culinary school of my dad and Food Network. And I just have homeschooled myself on cooking. Essentially, I read a food and wine magazine every night in the bath. You know, if you were to go into the Port City Java, there'd be five girls reading a Vogue. I'd be the one reading a cookbook. So I've always tried to learn as much as I can and take in so much information when it comes to cooking. And my path has just led me actually from Raleigh all the way to Hollywood, California, to chase a dream of being an actress. And I went out there and, you know, instead of falling in love with movies and all the fame and all that crazy stuff, I just fell in love with food all over again. And that passion brought me right back to Wilmington and wanting to do it full time.
Which is interesting. So Hollywood to Wilmington, and why Wilmington?
I have always loved Wilmington. It's been like a second home to me. I'm from Raleigh, of course, but every summer we used to go to Wrightsville Beach and we'd stay in these great condos called Dune Ridge. And I have just these awesome memories, you know, with my family of being there for 2 weeks and the four of us just getting to be together. And Wilmington was just this place that we would all come and relax, and there was no work, and it was all, you know, beach and bouillabaisse.
Which is great, except for now it's all work.
That's right. Well, but it doesn't feel like work. It never feels like work here. It, you know, ever since I've kind of decided that this was the right track to take, I have felt happier every single day than I think I ever have before.
Wow.
Yeah. I guarantee you my mom is crying right now listening to this.
Aww.
But
all of us moms are all going, good.
That's what I'm saying. Follow your dreams for sure.
So what's your favorite thing to cook? Is there a go-to?
Ooh, see, that's a tough one. I get that question all the time. I don't necessarily have a style of cooking. For example, I do not make Italian food or Mexican food or anything like that. What I kind of consider my cooking concept is, you know, I've talked a lot about childhood food memories. I like to take those food memories and kind of recreate them in my own kitchen. So I put my sort of Fanny spin on things that I grew up eating, you know, ingredients or a meal or, you know, something that was just a food memory that absolutely blew my mind. I go back to that nostalgic moment and what it tasted like and smelled like and felt like, and I just try and recreate that in my food. So, you know, for example, my dad makes these incredible crab cakes, and I grew up eating them. And so he just had his 60th birthday recently. Happy birthday, Dad. And we went to New Jersey to celebrate with the family, and I catered the whole thing. And sort of to honor him, I made my own version of the crab cakes, and I did crab cake sliders with a roasted tomato aioli. So I'd have to say
Yum.
Foods that are comforting.
Yum.
But yeah, totally. I mean, Yum. There were none left. I mean, they were just, you know, it was so wonderful to recreate a memory yeah. like that. So it's not as much a certain type of food, like a style. It's really just recreating these food memories. And sure. I love making things that are comforting, but making them in my own kind of gourmet way.
So I love to cook. You know, but cooking light is my staple.
For sure.
That's the thing I read every single month, top to bottom. Always got to cook something out of this issue of Cooking Light. And yes, I still get the print version as well as the online version because
yes.
I like the pictures. I like to turn the
yeah,
pages.
It's on the
like,
whole.
You know, and it's the inspiration of it, not
Absolutely.
Just the research of a recipe, right? But at the end of the day, it's like, oh, I don't know what I want to make. So how do you get out of that sort of food blasé thing?
I think it's so funny because most people that I know that don't like to cook think of it as a chore. And I have always thought of cooking as being a way to relax and coming home.
It's that chopping.
It's
the
chopping.
At the end of the day.
I mean, let's be real.
For those of us who have a sort of, you know, I was going to say 9 to 5, but I really mean to say 6 to 12 kind of job. it's like so therapeutic to
it
just
is.
Hit that chopping board with that knife or that mandolin, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was going to say the glass of wine is probably the first part that, you know, really opens up the whole world of cooking. And I think it's just, you have to kick off your shoes, you know, have a glass of wine and relax and make it fun. And I think that what's really important is doing recipes that are approachable, because I certainly know that if somebody was making foie gras, I would not be interested in it.
Yeah.
But if I know, or if I read about someone who's making, you know, like a grilled vegetable lasagna or something that sounds easy and approachable and comforting and like something that I could create in my own kitchen,
mm-hmm.
I think that's actually really fun for people to try and attempt those things.
Right.
And instead of thinking of cooking as a burden or something you do when you get home that you're just not looking forward to, you know, find the fun in it, you know, put yourself into it. And my advice to people out there, which is what I'm always trying to do, is find those moments or those experiences that you've had with food, times that food is literally just stop the clock, and recreate that and bring that moment out. And it's going to make eating such a more enjoyable experience. I don't believe in eating to live. I don't believe that. I believe in living to eat.
Yay. As you talk, for some reason, I'm envisioning roasted beets with some goat cheese and balsamic vinaigrette kind of over top.
Something we can
very,
do that.
You know, light but substantial at the same time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, I think dishes like that are great. I mean, I think really incorporating vegetables into what you're eating is obviously healthy, but not doing them in a way that's traditional, like steaming them. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. Open that frozen bag of peas.
Yeah,
let's
toss
have that
them in the microwave. That's not food. That is not food. Vegetables do not come from a bag. They come from the ground and whole foods. But, you know, I just think that, you know, especially even something like a beet, like you said, so many people have no interest in beets. And I think it's because they grew up eating them out of a can.
Right.
And they have this association with it that is just really not a fun memory. It's more of a, how can I slip this under the table to the dog or cat in my situation? But I think that if you kind of experiment different ways of cooking, like roasting or grilling or braising or, you know, putting different flavors, using fresh herbs, no pun intended, it opens up a whole new can of ways to cook.
Well, tell us about the business end of your business.
So far, things have been going very well. Like you said, the whole LinkedIn has been on my side. I've learned very much that networking is really the key to starting a business. I had no idea how important it was. I mean, you are not going to get anything accomplished sitting at your desk at home watching Frasier all day long.
Really?
No.
Really?
Well, I mean, I certainly do. And I'll tell you what, it really helped me prepare to know how to put these headphones on today. But I think that really making sure that the community knows who you are. And the only way you can do that is by getting out there and meeting people and
going on radio, right?
Yeah, going on the radio show.
You know?
That's right.
Radio.
And, you know, bringing sandwiches to events or brownies or whatever it is. Anytime that I'm invited somewhere now, I really just make an effort to show up and really let people just see my personality as a way to kind of spread the word of the business, because I am the marketer, I am the chef,
sure.
I am the dishwasher, I am everything.
And it's competitive here.
It is.
There are several people here who cook.
Oh, for sure. There are more than several. And I think I'm just definitely trying to make a name for myself as not just a caterer, but just a, you know, like I said, like a entrepreneur. Like I want to be the food icon of Wilmington. I want people to think, you know, I want something amazing for my next party, and the only person I'm going to call is Fanny.
And so what if it's not, like, for a party? Can people call you and say, you know, my neighbor down the street just got home from the hospital. They need something really special. Can we buy that from you?
Absolutely. That's a whole other avenue of what I do. I do these prepared meals. And it's funny, it all started, I had a neighbor who called me and said, you know, my mother has just had some recent health issues, and I know you make everything from scratch. She, you know, really loves your cooking, and I'm wondering if there's any sort of thing we can set up each month.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just, you know, kind of set up a plan with him for, I think it's 4 meals a month. So every week she takes a new one out of the freezer. So these prepared meals are great because they're healthy. They're completely customized to dietary needs. They're made from scratch.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything from the prepared meals to events to sandwiches for lunches, the cooking classes, like I mentioned. I'm a food jack of all trades.
Cool. So the next, like, big thing for you, what's next for you? What's going on now that's really cool?
Well, right now, if I'd have to say the one thing I have my fingers crossed for is I happen to have just entered a Rachel Ray cookbook competition.
We love Rachel Ray.
I do too. And I am so excited about that. I made a video. I wrote up my concept, talking about the Taste Like Childhood is what it's called, talking about, you know, childhood eats and recreating them.
And it's more than mac and cheese from Kraft?
And it's
Kraft?
More than mac and cheese. Yes, it
and
is.
Certainly not from Kraft.
Definitely not from Kraft. No, Velveeta all the way. No, just kidding.
No.
No. But yeah, so I actually submitted for that a few months ago. And as it turns out, the date that we're supposed to possibly hear by is Monday, this upcoming Monday.
Well, so, we'll have something on the website about that.
Thank you. I have my fingers crossed for that for sure. But I have a good feeling. But no matter whether or not that phone call comes through with what I'm doing here, even just being here today, I honestly just feel like I've already won.
Oh,
good for
cool.
you. Thank you.
What about give us a clue into the next 10 years? So Rachel Ray, maybe. And then what?
Well, once Rachel Ray and I become best friends and start our own TV show.
Base it here in Wilmington.
Sure, base it here in Wilmington.
Of course.
I think 10 years down the road, I honestly just would love to brand Fanfare and myself to really be what, you know, the stars of Food Network, the way that, you know, even if you don't watch the Cooking Channel or Food Network, you know who they are. They've just become these personalities.
Right.
And I've always, it's not just about the food, but it's about letting my personality completely shine through. And I hope to just sort of make a brand of myself and, you know, maybe the next Julia Child.
So what is the picture? What is in the food in the picture of you that you brand? What is that one piece of food that gets to have the visualization associated with you?
It's a fig.
It's
a fig. Come on. Who doesn't love figs? Okay. A lot of people don't understand figs, but I think figs are delicious. And for some reason, honestly, figs have just been almost the sidekick of my business this whole time. I was at Whole Foods on opening day. I mean, I was there before they opened the doors. And I remember walking through there and, you know, being so overwhelmed because, I mean, there was just a craze of women in there with their shopping carts.
Right,
and I was,
right.
like, hiding behind the kumquats. And all of
and
a sudden,
like, what do you do with a kumquat?
I know. And I'm like giving people advice and stuff. But no, it was just it was a really awesome experience to have the Whole Foods open up. And I remember just being in there on that opening day. And I turn around, I just bumped into something, and I looked down, and it was this huge display of these, like, bright purple fresh figs. It was the first time I had
died
ever
and went
seen
to
them.
Heaven.
I just died and went to heaven. I think I stood there and just looked at them for, like, 10 minutes. And ever since then, like, there's just something about them. They're goofy, and they're quirky, and they remind me of myself. So, in turn, I am a fig. Do they grow here?
Fanny the Fig.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're in my backyard.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Squirrels love them.
Can I come over?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Not right now.
All
because
right.
there's no figs right now.
Yeah. But I've heard there's a, I've heard the mystery of the fig tree that lives in Wrightsville Beach that is in someone's yard, and it hangs over into public property, and
ooh.
I've been told people can come and pick that, so I've been scoping that out recently.
Well, you're welcome to come over to Church Street anytime.
I will.
As soon as we actually have figs, if we can keep the squirrels off of them.
You've got a deal.
Okay, cool. We're going to take a minute, and we're going to talk about what happens inside the kitchen and then the rest of the house. When you walk home at the end of the day, before you even get to that glass of wine, you got to walk into your house and it's got to feel good. So I want to turn over for a minute to Danielle and talk a little bit about interior design and what makes a house a home or an apartment a home. Talk to me about that.
You know, it's really about the emotional connection. So if I have a client that has a vision and they don't know how to implement that, that's my job to be the implementer and find out what they love, how they want to live, how their life works, what their functions are, how they want to use each room and create that. So the favorite part that I have about my job is that I get to create that for someone and create that emotional attachment and incorporate those things that are special to them and highlight those. And so in turn, they end up loving their home, which is where they spend the most time.
Right.
And it's very rewarding for me to create that for them.
Interesting. Okay, now I'm going to take a step back. Talk to me about how you got into interior design. And even before you do that, tell us a little bit about what interior design is these days.
Okay, so what it is these days is basically you can start from a new build and really create from scratch. Or you can do a renovation and change a space from something that's not really working for you or something that needs to be updated to something that works for you. So it's kind of taking a space and making it yours.
It's more than which curtains do I put up.
Exactly.
So what is it? What? How do you, What do you take? What components add to making a space your space?
It's color, it's look, it's feel. It's
like food.
Yeah. I mean, there's Fanny, right. Just like how you work with the same elements of, you know, texture and color, it's the same thing for me. So does somebody relate to color the same way as somebody else? Absolutely not. So every home is individualized to that person's likes. So I basically read them, and I'm like a psychologist when I first meet a client, and it's like an interview. I analyze them. I look at what they have, listen to them. Listening is key. And I kind of just analyze them until I figure them out. And then once I do, it all clicks. And then I start showing them things and creating things. And they're like, wow, you know, how did you know this? And I'm like, because I get you now, you know. Uh-huh. And so the biggest compliment for me from a client is when they say, you know, you just get me.
Yeah.
You know, that's great. That's a great feeling.
Well, how'd you get there? Take us back. How'd you become an interior designer?
Okay. So this is a really random story, but in eighth grade, I started watching Trading Spaces marathons with my cousin.
You know, TV, HGTV, you know, they've all impacted us
It was actually TLC.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. But Paige Davis was the host, and Fanny, we have a lot in common because I would love to have my own design show. So have our own network.
You got it.
There we go.
Let's do it.
All based in Wilmington.
Yeah, really. So I started watching marathons of that show in eighth grade. And then in high school, we had to take a speech class. It was required. And one of the speeches was a college interview. And you had to pick your college and pick your major. And so I picked Endicott College Interior Design. And I applied to one school. And that it was Endicott College. And I went there for 4 years. And I got my Bachelor's of Science degree in Interior Design. And I concentrated in Sustainable Design. Hmm. And I've just known ever since, and it's kind of random how I found my passion, but I found it young and I was lucky and I've stuck with it, and I am so happy to be doing what I love, and I'm so lucky.
You know, I have to say, you found an opportunity in the new space over here right down the street.
We're neighbors.
Manifest. I gotta say, that is such a cool place. Anyone who's not been into Manifest yet, it's literally, you know, come see us at Business Radio X. But then after you're done, go on down the street and hobble into Manifest, because it's so intriguing and inspiring and beautiful. The things that you have in that shop are amazing.
Yeah. What's cool about our showroom is that we're very different, and we've set an image for ourselves that has really made us unique. And so I'm an interior designer for them, but I have a great resource, which is our showroom. And our showroom has very different things, but it's quality. I mean, if you're looking for nice furniture, most of our furniture is handmade High Point, which is the furniture capital of the world. So we have very unique accessories and things to go with it. But it's a different environment. Everyone that walks in, they're like, this is such a cool space. And I mean, we're lucky to have that space, but I think a combination of what we have and what the space offers, it's kind of magical.
It absolutely is. So how does an interior designer work with a place like Manifest? How does that whole relationship come together?
Well, I was really lucky in meeting the owners. I was looking for a new job. I was at the same company for 3 years, and I was just ready to have my own business, you know?
Sure.
And I was at that breaking point, and I met the owners, and they're like, we're looking for somebody that can build us a business. You know, the wife, she just wanted the showroom. She's like, this is my dream to just have like a furniture store and kind of have fun with that stuff. But she's like, I want a designer that can build that side of the business. So it was kind of a perfect match. And, you know, I have like all my fabrics and resources and books there, but I work everywhere. You know, I go wherever my clients live. I can work from home too. A lot of the stuff I do is on the computer. So I, you know,
sure.
It just depends.
How do you find your clients? How do they find you?
It works in a lot of ways. Like Fanny said, networking in this town is amazing. Once you're in the crowd, it's so powerful. I just kind of met all the right people at the right time, and I network every single day. And so, you know, I did find a good chunk of my business, but at the same time, I had clients from the past that followed me to this job and that have referred me. So, you know, it's word of mouth, and it's networking, and it's just being consistently out there and be consistent with your image. And that's really what gets you successful.
That's absolutely true. From a marketer's perspective, I can
yeah.
tell you the consistency of your brand is critical.
Exactly.
So knowing it early on, I think, is really, really important. I think that a lot of people are more like me than not like me, unfortunately, and when it comes to design. And we sort of have a style, but we don't really have a style mm-hmm. at all. We kind of, I said to my husband before we moved here, I said, you know, gosh, our bedroom still looks like we're in college. All of the pieces are mismatched. And yeah. It's kind of like, they're all very important to us because we got them at different times in our marriage and they mean yeah. different things to us, but they don't go together and it just doesn't look organized. And my husband looked at me and said, well, you're not a very organized person, so I guess that makes sense. But
that's okay.
But you know, once we are able to find the historic downtown home that we actually want to live in for the rest of our lives, I don't want it to look mismatched. I don't want it to look put together, but I don't want it to be an antique dealership either. You know?
Exactly.
So how do you help people like me who really, we don't really know. That's not what we do best. We're better talking on the radio than we are, you know, putting visual things together.
It's funny because, you know, a lot of people think of interior designer and they think superficial, like shopping for things. And it's not that. It's reading people and it's figuring them out because sometimes you don't know. You don't know what you like. So I have to find that out for my clients sometimes.
Well, and I'm sure you're a marriage counselor as well at times.
It's funny. I think I've saved more marriages because I really do. I learned the hard way. You cater to the husband just as much as you cater to the wife.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I'm like, if your husband wants that man cave, we're going to give him that man cave, you know? And so then they like me and then, you know, they're happy at home. So it works for everyone. But yeah, in your case, a lot of people are eclectic, and I am too, and I love bringing
in
elements.
What a nice term.
I'm not going to say
that
unorganized.
That was well done.
But, you know, it's just the way that you do it. There's a way to display that stuff that you have to make it look really good. You just don't know how to do it because that's not your specialty. That's my specialty,
right?
You know? So I don't host a radio show. You know, that's not something that I'd be as good at as you are. So that's kind of my calling, and that's what I could do. So I could probably walk in your house and really quickly be like, let's move this, let's put this here, and we'd have it, you know? So I can help you.
So the one word to describe you would not be eclectic.
No, it'd be hardworking.
Ah, you know, that seems to be a theme on this show. Everybody yeah. I interview says, you know, I started my own business, and the thing that I can tell you is when you start your own business, you work your butt off.
Exactly.
You work your butt off. It's not instant fame and glory. It's funny, my son, our son is going to get a certificate in entrepreneurship on top of his degree. And so I often wonder if so many of the kids studying right now who are studying entrepreneurship think, oh, well, I'm just going to go out, I'm going to raise some venture capital, I'm going to be in my business for 5 years, and I'm going to have all this, you know, support behind me, and then I'm going to sell it and I'm going to be Bill Gates. And it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. But what's true is that if you love what you do, you don't mind working as hard as you need to become successful. You know, when I'm working these 20-hour days sometimes to finish a project on a deadline, I'm not miserable. I love what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's okay, you know? And if I'm tired, that's okay too, because I still love what I do. So you do, you work really hard until you want to, you know, be where you want to be, but it's worth it.
Cool. If there's one thing that you think adds to a room, I assume you do mostly residential.
Yeah, mostly.
Design. Mm-hmm. If there's something that people don't tend to have, but that actually adds to a room to sort of give it a piece of completion, what might that be?
Something personal. Something that can give that emotional attachment for the client. Like I had a client a few months ago. Her husband had this boat replica that his father had made years ago, and she had it underneath a table. And I found it, and I was like, this is so cool. And she's like, you know, my husband loves that thing. It's really personal to him, but I've never known what to do with it. And I was like, let's hang it on the wall. So we hung it on the wall. It looked awesome. And we surprised him. And when he came home, he was in tears. And she's like, Danielle, thank you so much. And, it, you know, it's just really
now
neat
all the
to
moms
kinda
are
do
crying.
That. But, you know, I try to incorporate things like that. That's what makes it special for them.
Yeah.
So
that's really cool. Okay, so both of you guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start talking about this show. We're gonna start an entire Wilmington-based station where we're talking about food and house and living your life.
I'm so in.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
All right. We'll do that right after the radio thing.
So, right.
All right, what's that look like? Let's dream about that. Let's be entrepreneurial for a minute and talk about what kind of thing could we look at as an organization that – come on, guys. I'm just pulling in all the people we have in this town that are involved
right.
in film and television. And they
Let's
know how
have
to
a
do
show.
This stuff.
Let's have a show.
Let's do it.
Where do you think people are – is there something particular about Wilmington or about the Cape Fear area that brings in food and brings in design and brings in texture and color and light and things that are important to you. I mean, both of you had the same themes during your presentations. You were both talking about how what you grew up with has impacted what you do for a living mm-hmm. and the things that make what you do for a living even better. So what do you see if we, let's create the whole channel, guys. What makes it uniquely Cape Fear?
There's something about Wilmington that is just
magic.
Magic.
I agree.
I don't know how to explain it, but it's funny because growing up, all I knew was Wrightsville Beach. So I live in downtown Wilmington now. Didn't know the downtown area.
Isn't it great?
It's amazing.
It's awesome.
I mean, cool. I have found my therapy through running on the river every night.
That's awesome.
And it's just, you know, it's the most calm. Something about it is just it's a very calming community.
It's a village.
It's a village.
Yeah. It's very quaint, even though it's technically a big city. It's very quaint.
And somehow, even though it's quaint and it's smaller, it's brought together, I mean, between the farmer's market and all of the designers and the foodies. It's like, it's such a cultural city, even though people think of it as a small town, but I feel like it's, you know, it's just this magical little village of artsy people who are all kind of coming together to create this cool experience for everybody.
Well, there's a lot of people here that love what they do. And I think that's what's so different is a lot of people find this place and they're like, I love it here. And it attracts those same kind of people. And everyone's so happy and passionate. And so when you're around those people, you're like on fire mm-hmm. and it's just contagious.
Absolutely. There are a lot of driven people here.
Definitely.
It's interesting, you know, so don't take this question wrong. I'm not trying to be, you know, the hippie that I never got to be. I kind of just missed that generation by just a few years. My husband got to be a hippie. I didn't get to be a hippie. But I think of things in terms of color, even though I'm not a designer. I do ascribe to having lots of different colors of food on the plate and having colorful plates and mm-hmm. having color around. So does Wilmington have a color?
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is blue, only because it's to me it feels like such a water-based place between the river and the beach. And I think people are so drawn to both of those that blue seems to be such a, like I said, blue. I mean, blue is a very calming color, mm-hmm. and I think something about Wilmington is just very peaceful.
I agree with that.
Well, great. Okay, we have a blue city. We have amazing food. We have great design. Everybody feels comfortable here because their tummies are filled with good things and their surroundings are beautiful. And it's mostly because of people like you. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Danielle, tell me how people get in touch with you if they need to have some design advice.
Okay, so you can get in touch with me by emailing me, calling me, or coming in our showroom, which is on the corner of Front Street and Chestnut Street downtown. My email is my first and last name, DanielleBoise@gmail.com.
Better spell that Boise thing because it's not like Idaho.
Okay, so it's BOISSE@gmail.
Very good. And Fanny, when people get hungry?
Hey, you just throw a basket of figs up into the air and I'll come running.
Okay.
But aside from that, you can email me or call me. Same thing, my email address is my first and last name. So it's Fanny, FANNY, Slater, SLATER, @gmail.com. Or you can go to the website, but do not go if you haven't eaten, because there are a lot of delicious foodie pictures. Mm-hmm. It is www.fanfarefoodie.wordpress.com.
Excellent. What a fun show. Thank you both very much for
being
on.
Thank you so much.
And until next time, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher for Wilmington Business Radio.